everybody. We got White Cottons. We got Peter, good Peter, Patience, and Brian and Adriana. I hope somebody else pops on, but it's good to have you folks there. Let's get going here. I got some junk on music. I think I'll save it for Wednesday night, some stuff that's happening in the world about music, the way it's helping people mentally, physically, and spiritually. We know where that's going to come out of. Tonight, we're going to kind of extend the one this morning. What we're looking at here is where I'm afraid that we're just going to all finally fizzle one of these days and just kind of get tossed the hands up and say, you know what, I'm just tired of this stuff. And just bag it, you know. Paul had confidence that we wouldn't. But when he says to stay with him, it means we stay in the book and we stay with him. If we stay with him, we won't quit. But if we don't stay with him, we will quit. And that's happening to more and more people now. And I just hope it doesn't happen to us. And we looked at some things here. You know, we're not ashamed of Paul. We say we aren't, but do we deal with that? We looked at some of the things that we looked at Titus and Timothy, that we're supposed to have joy when we hear from those guys, not get angry about it, but most people are anymore. Are we going to move away? Are we going to take heed unto these things? If we do, continue in them, the things that we've learned. We know who we've learned them from. It's part of our growing up, our faith growing. Our faith has got to grow. We've got to have more faith, not less faith. We don't want to see more. We're going to have more faith, because actually when we have more, here's a thought, when our faith grows, what we're going to see is we're going to be seeing less and less. Now think, let that one sink in a little bit. The lesser we see, the more faith we're going to have. As our faith grows, we're going to see less and less. And it's going to take a bundle of faith to hang in there when we don't even see stuff going on that we ought to see. It's just not going to be happening anywhere. We've got to have our faith get stronger when that happens. We talked about furthering the gospel. Paul had some hard things in his life, and he furthered the gospel. Then that's going to take us to another point here. It's going to take us to, let's go here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight. Now that's some good advice there from the scriptures. The more faith our grows, the less we're going to be seen. I'll probably say that a couple thousand times tonight, because that's pretty good, actually. Faith comes by hearing. We're not going to see anything. Stay in our Bible, our faith will grow. But if we're expecting to see some victories here, I'm not sure we're going to see much anymore at all. And we've got to have, our faith are just going to have to grow during that time. Now, looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see the next thing we're going to look at tonight. Of course, you can see it from the sermon title up there, Watch and Remember. He says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Well, he can't really be talking about sleeping here as dying, because if you're dead, as others do, they're not watching and being sober. Yeah, they're dead. So he's talking about live people here. We're not in darkness in verse 4. That the day should override you as a thief. And again here, we're talking about the second coming again. We're talking about the rapture. This is one of those touchy things where people try to merge chapter 4 with chapter 5. And they don't merge. They're two different things. And why would Paul ever talk about the rapture? Why not? The way he describes it, that's going to take place. Why would he ever talk about the second coming? Because he knows it's going to happen. And he didn't know when it was going to happen. It could have come any day. They're expecting it any day. So they would have been expecting the rapture too any time. And then the Lord's going to come back himself on the ground. And he got the tribulation. He knows he got to go through the tribulation. He knows these things. And he's telling these people still, you know, it's like if you miss the rapture, I suppose, or if you're going to hang in there long enough, this is what's going to happen. And we've been over this thing here together, over this thing before here. There is a difference there, but you got to look through the whole series in chapter 5. And you see that it is different than chapter 4. And chapter 4 can't be chapter 5. So anyway, that's not the thing tonight. It just says there, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And to watch something is to be awake, obviously. To be attentive. To look with attention. When you're watching for something, you're actually looking for it. You're not just walking around with your eyes zombied out. You're watching. You don't cross the railroad track without gandering. No, you don't gander. You watch. You look. You don't walk across the street without looking. And then as you look, don't you keep watching? Because if some idiot's going to become flying along at 80 miles an hour, you still watch. You're attentive. You're looking with expectation, it says. When you watch for something, you expect something to happen. You're watching for it. Keep guard, it says here, to look for danger, to be attentive, to be vigilant in the preparation for an event or trial. Yes, we know something's going to happen. We need to watch. What are we watching for? Well, we could be watching for the bad things. Watching for somebody sneaking up behind you. Watch for somebody that's got a kabuka on her head and a bomb strapped around her. We got to watch for that kind of stuff. We got to watch for some kids are going to sneak up behind you and rob your purse. You got to watch for somebody's going to reach over and grab you by the neck. You got to watch to see if anybody's going to look at you wrong. You got to watch. You expect these things to take place. You got to be watching. Oh, but we have to love God and we have to just love people because, no, we're supposed to watch. And it says, watch and be sober. That's serious. When people are partying, they're not watching. They're just partying. When people are just having a good time strolling down the highway, they're not watching for anything. You ever have a deer almost pop out, but you saw it coming and you're able to do something about it? Did you ever watching for pheasants? Well, maybe not. Pheasants flying across the highway into your wind? You ever watch for your gun when you're shooting your gun, that the previous shot casing actually came out of the gun so the second shot doesn't blow up in your face and you have a face that needs one of these miraculous surgeries? Do we watch? No, we're watching for something. We're expecting something to happen. We're careful. When I look up on these, when I do my little unofficial amateurish storm chasers, I'm watching for something because I'm expecting something to drop out of the sky. I'm not sitting out there enjoying the weather change. I'm watching for something. So when he says watch and be sober, you can't fall asleep while you're watching. And if we're so sleepy and tired and drugged up by this world, we're going to quit watching. And you've got to watch your parents. You've got to watch your children. You've got to watch your bosses. You've got to watch your neighbors. You've got to watch those pastors. They're trying to teach you something you shouldn't do. You got to watch people because you're going to expect something. Well, that's not very Christian-like. Sure is. That's exactly what Paul says, is to watch. Be attentive. Be vigilant. Something's going to happen. Be ready for it. In this case, they're talking about the Lord coming back. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back for the rapture. But when that rapture takes place and the tribulation gets started, if anybody can nail that thing down, they'll know when he's coming back. There's a time plan in there. So they'll be watching. They'll be watching. And they don't want to get caught ashamed. So the thing tonight is watch and then remember. He says there in, watch and be sober. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. He says here in Acts chapter 20, verse 31. These are some things that we need to remember. Now, I think if you've been with us long enough, you're going to hear me say some of these things over, maybe in a different light, maybe in a different attitude, maybe more positive. That's hard to say. Seems like I get things happening that just keep me from being positive Paulson here. That's okay. We get over it, we move on. God's grace helps us, gives us the strength to move on and to do what we can do. Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember. What? He says, that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, do we realize that Paul doesn't warn everyone today, day and night, with tears? Because he can't warn you if you don't open your Bible. During Paul's time, 3 years, he did not stop warning everybody. He didn't just tell them the joys of this and the marvelous this. He warned them. He warned them. And he says, now remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone, night and day. And he had tears. Don't forget the tears that come with Paul's preachings. Don't forget the tears that comes from somebody who is preaching Paul. Don't forget the tears that a parent has for you. Some parents. I know very few parents that have tears over their kids anymore, other than their tears of anger. I probably can't even think of anybody who cares enough about their kids anymore to give them the time. In fact, I'm thinking here, all the people I know that are families now, maybe not you folks necessarily, but I'm thinking there's so many names right now that are going through my mind that are just the world's worst parents. They're selfish. They're lazy. They don't care about their kids. They don't want them to go to public school, but they don't want to do them at home, and they're supposed to do it for homeschooling. It doesn't matter that they drink around them. It doesn't matter that they're showing them this garbage TV and videos. No, they're not. Those aren't the kind of tears I'm talking about. Somebody who cares for somebody, those tears. Listen, don't forget those tears that came with whatever was put towards you or towards us. We can't forget that Paul had tears. Night and day he warned the people for 3 years. You know, we say something to somebody one time and they get kind of upset. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. We don't tell them again. Because we don't want them to feel bad. What is this? Paul didn't stop for 3 years telling people. And he had tears. Why did he have tears? They must not have believed what he was saying. They must not have liked what he was saying. They must not have realized that he cared for them. He must not have realized that he says, the more abundantly I care for you, the less I be loved. He knows that. You don't suppose that brought the tears out, that people loved him less for him loving them more, to not quit for 3 years? Yeah, therefore, watch. Watch for this stuff. Watch what's going on here. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now let's go down to verse 35. Another one here. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. Fine. And now look at this. He says, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, isn't that a good verse? Now listen, people accuse us, the hypers, because they think we're hypers, accuse us of telling people not to go back and read the Gospels and the Old Testament. I don't tell that to people at all. They need to read the Gospels. They need to read the Old Testament. They need to read the Tribulation books. They need to read the book of Revelation. But the books that they apply to themselves are Paul's. And he says right here, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You can go back to the Gospels and you can find some things that Jesus said that Paul still teaches. Of course you can. That's the same Jesus that rose, and he's teaching some of the same stuff to Paul to the Gentiles. But there's other things that Jesus taught to Paul that he didn't teach to the Jews. And unless you know your Bible really, 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 really well, you're not going to recognize some of the stuff in the Gospels that aren't to us because Paul doesn't preach them. You see what I'm saying? I mean, if you know Paul really well, you ought to be able to go through the Gospels and see what Jesus taught to the Jews. Some of it's the same as taught to us, and some of it isn't. Right? I mean, does that make sense? But because none of us know the Gospels that well, or know Paul's stuff that well, we don't, especially a beginning Christian, you read the Gospels for what it's there for. It's there to tell people about Jesus to the Jews, and how he went to the world, and he was going to go to the world through the Jews. There it is. I mean, you still need to know that. But he says, I've showed you all things, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul is just saying, listen, I'm telling you something here, but don't forget, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And he's talking to the Jews then. But still, here's the guy, Paul, to the Gentiles. Look what he says, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Well, now, there you go. That's even better than what Jesus says. More blessed to give than to receive. Give what? Your tithe. What does Paul say? Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 2 and 3. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by letters, them will I send to bring your liberality. So these preacher guys that were supposed to watch and make sure that they're telling the right thing, telling people to tithe. Are you kidding? Tithe is nothing. With what God has done for us, we should be well above the tithe. As a purpose in your heart. You know, don't be forced by a guilty preacher, all this kind of stuff. Yes, let's remember what the words of the Lord, let's remember what he said to the Jews. But if you just go back to those, your giving is even less. But if you go to Paul, you've got no pressure on your givers. You can't pressure them, because it says, as a purpose is in your heart. Don't give out of necessity. Nobody's going to make you do it. Don't give it grudgingly. If you can't do that, then don't give. What pastor is going to say that? They could care less if you care. Just give the money. And I understand how you need the money. I realize that. That's real. It's a scary thing in a pastoral position. Especially nowadays, if you're going to preach the truth. Okay, so there's one of the things. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. We're supposed to go back. Paul says to go back for learning and for admonition. There's nothing wrong with looking at what Jesus said, but we listen to what Paul teaches. Here's the third one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here's one to remember. Here is totally one to remember. Be ye imitators of me. Is that what it says? That is not what that says. But that's what everybody else's Bible says right there. If they have anything to do with Paul at all, they're supposed to imitate him. Be ye followers of me, even as I imitate Christ. That's what these other Bibles are saying. Even the New King James Bible says that. So we know better than that. Look at verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. Now we know the ordinances aren't two. We know they're not baptism and Lord's Supper. We won't waste our time with that tonight. What Paul teaches are ordinances. Yeah, we should do these things. No doubt about it. But he doesn't call them laws, because all things are lawful. But what I want you to see here is in all things that we do, do we remember the Gospels? Do we remember the Old Testament law? Do we remember the Hebrews? Do we remember Jude and Peter? No, we remember Paul. In all things, remember Paul. In other words, what would Paul think? What WWPT? There you go. What would Paul think? Well, that just sounds so stupid. No, because Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, told Paul what to think, what to say. So when Paul says, remember me in all things, okay, anything we do, everywhere we go, whatever we do, good or bad, right or wrong, whatever it is, let's keep Paul in mind. What is it Paul taught us? Romans 2, Philemon. Everything we do. I don't wonder if it fits the Beatitudes. I don't think it fits. Can I do this? I'm not sure it's a Beatitude or not. No, we don't have to worry about the Beatitudes. Let's think of what Paul says. So there's one for you. Pop that in somebody. We're not supposed to remember what Jesus said in the Gospels. We're not supposed to remember what Peter said. We're supposed to remember what Paul said. Remember me in all things. And we're supposed to keep what it is he taught us. So when people think that's a hyper-grace crowd, they don't just complain about or teach about when the church began, either chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 13, chapter 18, chapter 26, chapter 23, whatever. They don't think you have to do anything either. They dress horribly. Their music's terrible. The ladies are running the ships, the whole spiel. I mean, the list goes on. Their kids are horrible. But they have God's grace, so let's just have a great time. And that's what they do. No, we're supposed to still keep the things that Paul teaches us. So, for example, get up in the morning, you get dressed. What's Paul say about that? Okay, you go to work. How do you behave at work? What's Paul say about that? When you're studying, how does Paul tell you to study? Do you read your Bible? Paul told you to. What are you thinking today? Well, Paul tells us to keep our thoughts under control. It's tough. Hey, listen, it is tough. So when we think how tough it is, remember, Paul teaches God's grace. We know that the flesh is still going to have its problems. Why do you know that? Paul taught us that. So when you do mess up and trip up, go on. Because Paul, everything we do, all things, we should be able to remember what Paul says. Of course, it is the risen Savior that told Paul what to say. So bottom line is we're still thinking of what Jesus said, but it's the risen Jesus. But the Bible says, remember me. This is Paul talking. So that's as simple as that. He's our apostle. That's fine. And if they get upset, I should say, listen, you just try to remember all the things the 12 apostles said to you. I'm just going to stick with one. It's a whole lot easier. Let's look at another one. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Now remember, this whole day today is to encourage us to grow. Not hear this and kind of whine down and whamper down and whimper down and just grump again because, oh sure, he says, now if our faith is going to grow, then we're going to see less and less. Some of us are begging to see something that's encouraging or exciting. That's right. I would like to see somebody change their music. I would like to see somebody look at this music stuff I'll talk about Wednesday night and have them go, that's Saul and David stuff. That's baloney. And they change their music. I did a mistake today. Somebody said on this Facebook thing, I'm trying to talk to some guys here about the narcissistic aspect of Facebook, how it's all about themselves. And we got into the Bible stuff. And so I'm trying to talk to people about that sort of stuff. It just makes them mad, I guess. But somebody did pop in and said, here's a marvelous song. Oh, I wish I could sing this, but it's too much for my church. And I wrote back and I said, you think it's too much for God? Then somebody else who I know knows me from my previous teaching years wrote on there, and this girl used to sing real pretty. She still does. I mean, she used to sing the proper stuff, had a big voice and the whole thing. And she writes back and says, oh, this is a beautiful piece. No, it's not. It's okay. I'll listen to it. I didn't have to listen to it to know what was wrong. So I listened to it for about 20 seconds. And it was just junk. Just garbage and junk. And I forgot what I wrote back and said, you got to be kidding. This is full of rhythm. This is full of the worldly sounds. And I guess I better get off, and all that kind of stuff. I think it'd be fun. I'd like to see something. Wouldn't you like to see something? I'd like to see some people get some things. I'd like to see some action here of success towards Paul's teachings of the King James Bible. I'd like to see some people have some lives. I'd like to see some things here, but we don't see it. Our faith has to get stronger because we're not going to see as much as we need to see. I'd like to see some of the politicians, right, wise up. We don't need God like you're talking about it. We don't need the Mormon God. We don't need the Mormon Jesus that says he died for most of your sins, but not all of them. We don't need the money of the Mormon church. We don't need that kind of teaching. We need somebody to get up there and talk about a King James Bible, rightly divide that thing, and let's see what Paul has to say. Oh, yeah, like this guy won't even get elected to his Boy Scout club. That's just not going to happen. Wouldn't it be nice to see that? Wouldn't it be nice to see some things change? Well, they're not. They're going to get worse. What do we have to grow in? We have to grow in faith. Not in grace. We're told to grow in grace in the tribulation. We're told to grow in faith today. How do I get into that? Anyway, let's go here to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Here's another one. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Remember that. Remember what it was like before you got saved. Remember what you used to talk like. Remember what you used to think like. Remember what you used to do. Remember what you used to show people when you got dressed in the daytime. Remember what you used to look like running around like you used to look like. Remember what you used to have for friends. Remember all this kind of stuff. Remember the world. Remember the TV programs you used to watch. Oh, wait a minute. Are we going back towards that stuff? Are we losing our faith? Are we going backwards here? It can happen. We can get so tired of not seeing something and our faith not growing stronger, and it can be all of us here, then let's remember what we were before this whole thing got started. I won't take the time to tell you where I was at in my life. I wasn't a drinker. I wasn't a smoker. I wasn't a bad person. I was a church-going kind of a thing, Lutheran. Then somebody told me some stuff, and I got into the King James, and I got into the preaching and the music and the Bible study and then the Paul thing, and oh, man. But I have lost so many friends and family members over this stuff. I have lost so much respect. I have lost so much, you name it. But just remember, before that took place, I was attached to my sins. Even the good stuff, there must have been a couple good things I did. I must have helped a couple of ladies across the street somewhere. All the stuff I did, all the good stuff I did was still dirty. And now the dumb stuff I do today, it's clean, because all things are lawful. I shouldn't have done it, and it's going to burn the judgment seat. But hey, remember what we were in time past. While some people are going to say, well, I remember in time past, my parents loved me more. I had a job. I had money. We had a better house. We had a better church. We were happier at church. And my kids were happier going to Sunday school. Yeah, well, there's a reason for it. And don't blame God, and don't blame Paul, don't blame that Bible that you're miserable in church now. Don't blame God and Paul that you're miserable at home. Don't blame Paul that your marriage is miserable. It's not his fault. Something's not working here, and it's based on the series and Paul's teachings. Paul's teachings are going to expose it. I know what it exposes in my life. I know what it exposes in lots of other people's lives. And frankly, I am tired of it. But here we are just to preach it and see who's going to make some changes, myself included. He says, remember. Look at Romans 11. I think we probably already thought about that one when I mentioned that thing there. Romans chapter 11. Look at verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. Man, if it wasn't for the Jews messing up, we'd be still barking and yapping. I still want to walk in. I don't think we have any Jews in South Dakota. I don't think they come this far or something. I don't know. I got to find one somewhere. And I want to walk up and say, you know, thank you, thank you, thank you. So for what? Well, for rejecting your Savior, your Messiah, because now I've got him and you don't. Would you like to have him? Now that conversation will drop dead pretty quick. But that's what I want to do, because I'm serious. Thank you, guys. You little people with the black half beanies on the head and the beards, hey, thanks. What can I do for you? Want me to buy you some bacon or something? How about if I buy you a pig for the barn? Come on, let's have a great time here. I owe you so much. And Paul even says to take care of them carnally. See, we don't have to take care of Israel because whoever takes care of Israel, God will bless that nation. No, we need to take care of the Jews, which is Israel, based on what Paul teaches. There's just the right source of Bible stuff is what people need to hear in the news. Yeah, we are dinking on Israel. But listen, I've been reading Ronald Reagan's diaries. Those guys stunk on Israel way back in Ronald Reagan's time. This isn't anything new. God isn't going to suddenly put the hammer down on America because we haven't been supporting Israel. We haven't supported Israel for so long in so many ways. So that's just bunk. But we get in, look at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That's what happens if we don't remember this stuff. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Oh, now when is that going to be done? We'll go down to verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, that's the Old Testament crowd, but toward thee, Gentile times, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. That's the goodness of God. Which we're not. America's getting out of that stuff. Hardly anybody understands the goodness of God. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. So what is that? That's the Gentile nation. That's called the rapture, when we're out of here. So these people that are teaching that the rapture doesn't exist, what does that mean? He's going to cut off the Gentiles. Come on, Pastor, why don't you see that there? He's going to cut off the Gentiles because the Gentiles are done with the goodness of God. Who preaches the goodness of God? Paul. When people are sick and tired of Paul, and the Paul guys are becoming sick and tired of Paul, when this goodness of God is no longer preached and taught and lived and believed, that's the rapture. And it does exist, because after that comes the tribulation. That's what's going to get cut off. It's amazing, isn't it? Look at verse 20. We did 22. And look at verse 31. Chapter 11, verse 31. Even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy that they also may obtain mercy. That's the Jews. We're supposed to have mercy towards the Jews. That's our way of responding to when they messed up and they gave us that salvation, that we should have mercy back towards them. Look at verse 30. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, they don't believe now, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. That's what we're supposed to be following towards a Jew. Let's not forget where we're from, what it was like. Okay, that's Ephesians 2:11. Let's go a couple more here. Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. Well, I'll tell you, I've not forgotten my comment about as our faith grows, what we're going to see is going to get less. I've forgotten about that. That's in the back of my mind all night tonight. Do you ever have verses that do that to you? Forget the rest of the sermon. That one stuck with me for the night. We're not going to see anything better. It's going to get worse. And we're supposed to grow in faith. So I hope it's like people saying, well, better not pray for patience because tribulation worketh patience. Well, that's true. Okay, so you better not pray for your faith to grow, because in order for your faith to grow, you're going to see less. That's scary too. We still should pray for patience, though. Not, you know what I mean. Where are we at here? Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. Here we go. Colossians 4, 18. It says here, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. He just says, remember my bonds, and grace be with you. Remember my bonds. Paul had it rough. Let's not forget what Paul went through. Right? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. What did Paul go through? 2 Corinthians, let's not go through that long list of stuff. We know those things exist. But let's look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye should know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. I mean, Paul really cared. And he had to do what he had to do out of affliction and anguish of heart. And when you write a good sermon about the joys of this and the happiness of this and Bible psychology of this and all that kind of stuff, there's no affliction there. There's no anguish of heart. You can tell anybody anything. You can flatter anybody. There's no anguish of heart involved there. There's no affliction. When you know you got to get up there and preach to people who's, for example, the women are working, and you know that's going to go over like a bomb and a brick, but you have to say it. You go over there and you go to this modesty stuff. You go over there in Titus and you go to the sound doctrine stuff about men and everything, and you know we're not. And you know they're going to hate the message. You know you have to tell somebody, you know that isn't modest. You know that isn't the way you should behave. You know that isn't the way you should be. Remember my stuff on the on how to entertain as a Christian? How we seem to forget that we're Christians when we get involved with games and activities and stuff? Our modesty goes out the window. We become loud and obnoxious and all that kind of stuff. Somebody preached about, I remember preaching about that stuff. I preached about vacations one time. Just before somebody's going to take a big vacation. And it's just something that had to be preached. It was in the book, and it came right out. It was marvelous. But I can't imagine it scored any points. Matter of fact, right now, where we used to preach against vacations, now the same, let's see, I'm looking at my thing here. Now we got people going to Vegas and Mexico and Europe, and man, they're just having a party. And we got people that don't have Bibles. We got people that don't have ministries going, and they're trying to teach Paul. And we got all these people that don't even have jobs, and we want to help them out somehow. We're a mess, aren't we? A mess. Let's just remember the bonds that Paul had. Remember that when Paul was in bonds, though, in Philippians, he talks about how it furthered the gospel. Let's remember Paul's bonds, but let's remember he didn't back off. Let's remember he took it on the chin. Let's remember that he didn't just turn the other cheek. He had things to say when he was in trouble. And he was in situations where if he didn't say something, he wouldn't have gotten in more trouble. But he said them anyway. He wasn't an idiot on a street corner. He just says what had to be said was true. He said it in a loving, caring manner, blah, 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 blah. Oh, yes, he did change his voice one time. Let's keep going here before you get too stiff and sore out there. Let's go to First Thessalonians. Do you want to do this one here? Yeah, let's go to First Thessalonians chapter 2. We're already there. Okay, let's go down to verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Now, these are the guys that we're supposed to remember. These are Paul's brethren. And yet, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Now these guys are saying, listen, we labored night and day, and we didn't want to live the kind of life that you can say, see, if you don't do it, I don't have to do it. They didn't do that. They lived the kind of life that didn't get them chargeable to other people. And yet they still said, we're just helpers of your joy. We're going to help you. We can't do it for you. We can't tell you to do it. We can't make you do it. We can't put the guilt trip on you. But we're here to help you. We're not going to have dominion over your faith. We're not the boss. The risen Savior is our boss. The King James Bible, rightly divided, Paul to these other guys. So let's remember what these people went through. You know, I these aren't apostles or anything, but remember all the people that were killed and tortured in the Dark Ages over this very same Bible, the very exact same words? I bet they'd be shocked if they saw the Bibles in our houses that were torn, tattered, or unused. So there's been a lot of travail and labor for this book and for us to know what we know. How about, and I'm going to say this just for the website out there, how about these pastors that are preaching Paul? They don't have a large congregation. They have no money coming in very seldom. They have to work a job. They've got problems in their own house. Their own family doesn't even like all this stuff. How do you deal with that? There's labor and travail behind this stuff. You want to help somebody get their life. You want to help somebody get out of the snare that they're caught into and they want you to help them. It's going to take labor and travail. It's going to take years and years of tears. Well, there's a poem. So let's not forget that stuff. Let's remember that stuff. Laboring night and day. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. There is an old saying, the Bible is falling apart is held by someone who isn't.
Yeah.
I never heard that old saying. I've been around for old sayings. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Now, here's one. This is interesting. He says, Paul says here, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Okay. What are these things? I mean, have you forgotten Paul told you? Paul, have you forgotten I told you this stuff? What is the stuff he's talking about? Verse 2. Not to be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, as letter from us, as the day of Christ. Don't get troubled that like you think the Lord's coming today and you're in big trouble. Because it says, as that the day of the Lord, the day of Christ is at hand. Hope you remember that. Let no man deceive you by any means. Because none of this is going to happen until that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So we know this is going to happen. And as we fall away more, our faith should grow. Anyway. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So see, by the way, for these doctrinal people, the man of sin will be revealed before we're out of here. I don't know why I didn't see this in all these years that people kept preaching the fact that, well, we're never going to know. Yes, we are. Let no man deceive you by any means that the day shall not come. What, that's the day of the Lord is not going to come except there be a falling away first. So we have that falling away going place. This tribulation is not going to take place until this man of sin is revealed. So we'll know. And it says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. And Paul says, remember, I told you this before. Then he says in verse 6, and now ye know that withholdeth the heat. He says, but this isn't going to happen yet. And now ye know that what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already at work. So, Paul told us. And I think we can say lastly here, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Yep, 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, rapture talk, you just want to stop and park in that a little bit. That thing so clears up all the confusion pastors are teaching. That 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there, rapture in there, then comes the second coming after that. The rapture comes after we see who the son of perdition is, then comes the tribulation. You can't have the second coming of Christ without having a rapture. You can't have the tribulational doctrines of Hebrews to Jude till you get rid of the Gentiles. You can't get rid of the Gentiles until the Gentiles are done to the goodness of God. And we're not going to be caught that stuff two in the field, one will be taken. That's tribulation stuff when the Lord comes back. Revelation chapter 3 talks about being ashamed when he comes back. We won't be ashamed when he comes back. We're going to think we are. We're going to act like we are. He's going to say, listen, I've got that all stuff covered. What are you ashamed for? Let's take your bundle of works, put it in the fire, and see what you come out with. And he took our shame. Anyway. Last thing, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, where he says here, I don't want that, 2 Timothy chapter 2, I was in chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, why do we have to remember that? Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Well, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. So Paul is bound. Paul is troubled up. Please listen, don't forget that Jesus Christ of the seed of David. Well, that's kind of interesting. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Sorry, we're going too fast again. What a day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Well, here's where he was died and buried and rose again. So there that is. But why does it have to be of the seed of David? Well, we know that he was of the lineage of David and goes all the way back. But the seed of David? I mean, there's something not quite right here. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Paul wants us to remember this, that the Jesus Christ of the seed of David, this is the one. This is the one the Jews better know. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That's Paul again. We look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Women don't have seed. That has to be a virgin birth. That's who he's talking. Way back to Genesis 3:15. Wow. So, yes, he came from the seed of David, but that lineage is an earthly lineage. And then, 2 Timothy, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, again, verse 8. This time... Uh-oh, that wasn't what I wanted. Okay, I'll find it in a minute here. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. I think that's where it's at. Yeah, that's where it's at. Romans chapter 1. I hope that's where it's at. Romans chapter 1. Yep, it is. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. We're trying to figure why the seed of David has to be in there. Because we're supposed to remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. Was the Mormons Jesus the seed of David? No, he wasn't. Was the Pentecostal? No. These all came from angel visits. They're talking about a different Jesus here. This is the one that's of the seed of David. This one that came to the Jews. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So he still was Son of Man, and declared to be the Son of God. In the next verse, there he is, Son of God, Son of Man. So yes, this is the Jesus Christ that we're talking about here. But the seed was from a woman, Genesis 3:15. But he's from a physical lineage, David. And there's some pretty crummy things that went on in that lineage, if you remember correctly. So that's a little sidelight there. We're supposed to remember that. You know what's really nice is we don't have to remember Hebrews 13:7. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Aren't you glad you don't have to follow your pastor's, his personal walk in faith? Aren't you glad you ladies don't have to follow the pastor's wife's teachings and her lifestyle, her way of behaving? Look at the ladies in the churches today. Look at the pastor's ladies. They run the ship, by the way. All they got to do is say, husband, I got a headache for the next 3 years, and she can run that ministry. All she has to do is talk to somebody in that church, and that pastor's got a problem on his hands. And most of these people that don't follow Paul believe that the woman is the type of Holy Spirit in the life and in the family, because Jack Hiles taught that to thousands and thousands of pastors. Aren't you glad you don't have to remember that stuff? Considering the end of their conversation. Yeah, look at their lives. I've got nothing to brag about in my lives. Both of my kids are out of the whole ballpark with this stuff. I got nothing to brag about. I used to brag on my kids for so long that I had to eat these words. How many pastors out there, families falling apart? Aren't you glad you don't have to remember their stuff, that they are your final authority? Jude 1:17 says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles." Aren't you glad we don't have to remember what the apostles taught? These are books. These are verses in the tribulation. We're supposed to remember what Paul taught, not the apostles. We learn what the apostles taught, but we don't apply them. So it's a good thing we just remember some of that stuff. But the things that we're supposed to remember, we ought to remember. That for the space of 3 years, Paul ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He never quit. We're supposed to remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he said it's more blessed to give, because Paul says the same thing, only deeper, more particular. We need to remember that what Paul is teaching is what the risen Savior taught. Paul says, remember him in all things. We're supposed to remember where we were before we got saved, what was going on. We're supposed to remember Paul's bonds and the challenges it took to be what he was. We're supposed to remember the labor and travail that comes behind this preaching and teaching. We're supposed to remember that things are getting bad, but it's not going to happen until the falling away. And then lastly, I have to remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. There's where we get our authority, is Paul's gospel. Okay, so let's try to move forward. Let's try to not go back. Let's try to continue to grow. Not only just in faith, not only just in intelligence and knowledge. Let's try to grow in judgment, he says in Philippians chapter 1. As we learn more and more what's right, let's not go back. Let's not go back on this stuff. But like we also said tonight, here's one more time, as things get worse, our faith is supposed to grow, not get weak. And I'll be one of the first to say, that's really tough. Don't you want to just give in and get some money and just ride the wave out here? Remember Paul's shipwreck? If you know how to swim, head for shore. If you don't, just hang on for the rest of your life. I really still don't want to just hang on for the ride. I really don't. I want to preach this stuff. I want to teach this stuff. I want to help people change their lives. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm not aware of the stress that you all go through trying to follow this Paul stuff. From the modesty of the women to the women at home work instead of working, those that can't, it's got to bother you. And us men, the way we behave sometimes, it's shameful. But let's just remember what Paul says about it all. Let's just remember Paul during all that stuff. And he says, get up and keep going. Forgiveness is automatic. It's already there. Nothing to forgive you for. Because you love him. He loves you. You don't have to ask somebody you love for forgiveness. It's already there. Amen? Amen.